Morning. Well, I got no notes this morning. I know what I'm going to talk about. I have an idea of how we're going to get there, and I'm going to trust that whether it's 15, 20, 30, 3 hours, 4 hours, that God's going to use me to speak to you. And like I always say, you don't want to hear what I have to say anyway. That's not why you're here. So let's start with a word of prayer one more time and ask God to just be with us this morning. Father, we come to you again, Lord, with open hearts, Lord, and open eyes and ears. Lord, we just pray that you would give me the words this morning to speak to this congregation, Lord, that you've placed inside of my heart. And I pray that I would be able to bring that forth in a way that would be meaningful and be applicable to each one that's here. Lord, I know that you can work in any situation, and we just pray this morning that you would work in this church, that you would work amongst this congregation, Lord, as we try to draw closer to you and grow deeper in our faith. And Lord, we lift all this up in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I had the opportunity, I guess it's not even an opportunity, I'm going to call it the blessing, to speak at a funeral in August for my grandfather. And I was able to speak. The family had asked, and me and my brother gave a message or a word of inspiration, whatever you want to call it. And so that's where this message, A Legacy of Faith, stems from. It stems from the story that was told at his funeral, and the life that he lived and the way that he lived it and what we can take from it. And Pastor Jeff was there, and he came and asked if I would sort of give the same sort of message this morning with regards to what is a legacy of faith? What does that mean? And how do we get there? My grandfather, his name was Lawrence J. Barnes. He was born in Everett, Pennsylvania on January 7th, 1939. He was laid to rest. He passed away on August 3rd, 2019. He was 80 years, 6 months, and 27 days old when he passed away. We had a service on August 6th, 2019 at 7 p.m. at the Red Lion Bible Church. And when I was preparing last night for this morning, I didn't really know. I was trying to put, you know, pen to paper and lay it all out, and I couldn't really come up with the right layout of how I wanted it to go. And something just kind of told me, go over and pick up his Bible. His Bible, which I was given by my mom and my aunt. And I went over and I picked it up, and inside was the clergy record that they gave to me when I spoke at his funeral. And it kind of hit me that, you know, and maybe we don't do this anymore, I don't know, but if you open up this Bible and inside it's got a record of his marriage. He was married on June 15th, 1957 to Helen Biola College. And when you open that up, it goes into his family tree and his wife's family tree and so on and so forth. And there's birth records and marriage records and death records and everything from his life, everything that meant something to him is in his Bible. And in there he has written that on December 10th, 2014, his wife passed away. And as I spoke at his funeral, I talked about Hebrews chapter 11, and I specifically mentioned talked about the verse that mentions Noah. And if you have your Bible and you want to open there this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. And I talked about how Noah was called by God, and Noah was called by God for one purpose, and that was to build an ark. Right? God decided that the world had become too evil, that it was full of wickedness, and that he was going to wipe out the entirety of the world, every living, breathing creature that was on the earth. And he called on Noah. And if you were to read the story back in Genesis, you would see that God called Noah, and Noah just obeyed. No arguing, that's crazy, God. That's silly. You want me to build a big boat because you're going to send water down from the sky. Right, okay. There's none of that. You just see that Noah simply answered the call of God and obeyed. And so Noah built the ark, and we know the story. It rained and rained and rained, and God opened up the floodgates, and down came rain and flooded the entire earth. And if you are in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to look at verse number 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." So Noah, when he obeyed this call, he didn't simply obey the call to save himself. Right? Noah obeyed a call because he had faith that whatever God was telling him to do was going to come true, was going to come to light. And if God told him to build an ark, well, he was going to build the ark. He didn't know what rain was. He didn't know what it meant that maybe to flood the whole earth and how it was going to be and the devastation of it all, but it didn't matter. Because he acted on faith based on the call of God to build an ark. And when I thought back as I was preparing to speak at my grandfather's funeral, I couldn't help but think that, you know, there was a time in his life where he didn't know God. There was a time in his life where he was a person that just did whatever he wanted to do to please self. But one day, God got his attention, and one day God came knocking on his door, and he was invited to church, and he easily could have shut the door and walked away and said, "Nope, I'm good where I'm at. I'm going to keep living to please myself. I don't need God. I don't need help. I don't need anything." But instead, God worked in his heart. And so my grandfather answered that call and went to church. And when I look in the front of his Bible, it has written the words, "Truly saved, January 8th, 1981. Truly saved in 1981. So he obeyed the calling and got himself to church. He listened to God and found salvation. That led my mother to salvation. That led my family, my parents, to a place where we would be ingrained for decades at Red Lion Bible Church. It's where they would send their children to school, myself and my brother and sister. It's where I would meet my wife. Praise the Lord. And it's where now we send our children to school, where our eldest son graduated, where our daughter hopefully graduates at the end of this year. She's not in here, I don't think, but hopefully she graduates at the end of this year. But it's a decision that was made by my grandfather at some point, probably in the early 80s, to follow God and to get to church. And that one decision has impacted four generations of his family. So just like Noah obeying the call and building an ark and putting his family on the ark has saved arguably the human race, that one decision by my grandfather to get up and go to church and to find salvation, and not only to find salvation, but to pass it on to his family. And it trickles down the line, has impacted our family probably more than any other decision that was ever made in our family's history. And so his salvation, underneath that, he has the date 3-3-2017. There's no other words. It's just written directly under 3-3-2017. Now, I can only speculate as to what that date means, but as I think back on his life and the way that it went after my grandmother passed away, while he went to church all his life, or all his life that I know, he was hit or miss, but he was in church periodically. He'd come here quite a few times before finally going back down to Red Lion Bible Church. I can only speculate that maybe that date is some sort of a rededication date, or some sort of a date that he has marked down that where he decided that he was going to just make sure he got to church. Because as I think of his life, there became a time where he became every Sunday. Every Sunday we would drive past Red Lion Bible Church on our way here, and we would look over, and there would be Pap's car. And there would be Pap getting out of the car with his jean shorts on and with his sweater and probably some suspenders. And he'd be walking into church with his Bible in hand. And if you were to talk to my aunt, he was probably sitting in the congregation and had no idea what the pastor was talking about. Had no idea. He's probably in the wrong Bible, book of the Bible. But he was in church. And he was in church, and he wanted to grow. And so how does he leave a legacy of faith? What steps did he take to leave a legacy of faith? Well, the first one was that he answered the call of God. He answered the call of God, and he got to church. And that was the best decision that he could have made for himself and for his family, just like we see with Noah. Noah answered the call, and it saved himself, but it saved his family as well. And I'm sure that many of us could write down and we could list a bunch of names and people that have impacted our lives, that have made a decision or made an impact on us personally that has changed the course of our lives forever, for eternity. And hopefully if you're here this morning, there has been somebody that has changed the course of your life for eternity so that you're going to spend eternity in heaven as opposed to spending the eternity in hell. But I took a couple minutes this morning and just thought about it. And I got three names outside of my grandfather, names of people who have impacted my life. And I came up with Ernest Freeman Warner Jr., who passed away March 8, 2004. That was my grandfather on my dad's side. I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough that I share middle names of both of my grandfathers. So my middle names are James Freeman. James for my grandfather Barnes, Freeman for my grandfather Warner. But he passed away on March 8, 2004. He wasn't a necessarily theological man, but he went to church every Sunday, him and my grandma. They took us to church when we wanted to go with them. We wanted to go because they would let us chew gum. They always had Chiclets in their pocket, and they would always hand us Chiclets, and we would just go down there just because we wanted to. And their church was shorter. They went to Bittersville United Methodist Church, and it was real quick. Like, it was like, you're in, you're out, you're done, you're good for the week, you get to go home, and that's it. Whereas if we went down to Red Lion Bible Church, we were there for a good, hour and 45 minutes, and it dragged on, and we're just sort of like, we go home. So we always like to go with them down to church. But he wasn't a deep man. When you talk to him about things of the Bible, which I didn't really get to do because by the time he had passed away, I was still in my rebellious stage in life, and so I didn't really get to sit down with him and talk. But after he passed and after my grandmother passed, my wife and I bought their house, and we moved into their house at the time. And so I was fortunate enough to inherit a bunch of books, because he had, just shelves of books. And in some of those books, I really got to see a glimpse of what he was and how he lived and what his dedication to serving God really was. Because again, I didn't really know it. I didn't really see it or take note of it at the time. But as I read through these books, I get to see a glimpse of him and of his dedication. Another man is a man by the name of Dean Dettinger. And Dean passed away June 19th, 1997. And Dean was at the time was the father of my then girlfriend. And he was a great man. He taught me so much. I spent more time probably with him in those days than I did at home with my father. As many teenage boys do, they find a place where they want to run off and hide, and they feel safe, and that was my place. And he showed me many things. He showed me most of all patience in any circumstance. This was a man that you just simply couldn't rattle. You couldn't get him angry. And he went to church down in, I forget the name of the Pleasant Grove, maybe down the Brogue direction. And I was young at the time. I had literally just graduated high school when he passed away. And it was really the first time that I had to experience a loss of somebody that I was close with in that regard. And so that was a difficult time. That was a time in which, you know, you don't really understand the impact that somebody has on your life until many years down the road. But he showed me again, you know, what being a servant of God and what being a child of God really meant. And then there's another gentleman, the name of Ronald Schmuck. Ronald Schmuck was the pastor and the founder of Red Lion Bible Church. Ronald passed away September 10th, 2011. Coincidentally, that was my 32nd birthday. Ronald, again, followed God's calling and decided back in, I think, the 50s or the 40s or something, I guess it was the 50s, that he was going to start a church. And he was going to start a church in Red Lion, Pennsylvania. And that, again, became the home of my family for now four generations. But not only that, while we were in school, yeah, he had his quirks and he had his, you know, his sort of, you know, he was a real strict, hardcore, almost kind of legalistic feeling, you know, pastor, and you can't do this, you have to do this, and da da da. But at the end of the day, when you look back at the legacy and the life of somebody and you see the impact, had he not followed God's calling, Red Lion Bible Church probably isn't there, and I'm probably not here. And so as you go back through, and again, I'm sure that we can all sit down and write a list of names and write a list of circumstances in which God has used people in our lives and moved us through to get us to the place where we are today. Years ago, I was just coming out of high school or just around a senior in high school or something like that, and I was hanging out with my wife's brother, and we were in Shrewsbury down here, and he introduced me to a gentleman, and at the time I thought, this guy's weird. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Like, this guy, I don't really get along with him. I don't like him, and you know, we just didn't know each other, and it was just awkward. I guess that was the best way to put it. It was just awkward when you don't know somebody, and I was always pretty closed off. I'm not a guy who, like, if I don't know you, I'm not a guy who just comes out and I'm, you know, all happy and joyous and try to get to know you. That just wasn't my nature. And so years and years then down the road, this guy shows up in our lives. I don't even know when or how. I guess it was through my brother-in-law again, but he shows back up in our lives, and we become really good friends. We actually, and we get along, and really all we do is just make fun of each other and laugh, which I think is what most guys do. You know, you make fun of their flaws, and you laugh at each other, and that's it, right? So it turns out then, at the time, my wife and I, we'd spent maybe a decade or so looking for a church, looking for a place to call home, a place that we felt like we fit in and we belonged. And one day, this gentleman comes up to me and he says, "Hey," he says, "you know Jeff Flemp?" I said, "Yeah, I know him. He went to the same school that I went to. You know, he's a pastor down in Shrewsbury now, down at Grace. And he's really good. You should come down and check him out." Okay, you know, yeah, we'll come down and check him out. And now we can't get rid of the place. But that young man is actually Kitty Heidelball's son-in-law, Kenny, who randomly, again, just invited us to church one day, who was randomly placed in our lives decades before, who we had no idea would ever attend church and no idea that he would ever invite us to church, certainly. But because of that decision and because that my wife and I decided, yeah, let's go check it out, now, 10 years or so later, here we are in Grace Church, hopefully making an impact on the congregation and making impact on lives for God. But, you know, the bottom line in all of it is that we want part of our legacy to be Grace Church. We want part of our legacy for our children to involve Grace Church. And so we are obeying the call of God to get to church, to be involved in church, and to raise our kids in church so that one day they pass that on to their kids and their kids and their kids. So now you ask yourself, why did you go through all that and tell us all that? What does this have to do with Grace Church? What does this have to do with what, you know, what we're talking about and taking the next steps and all of that? Well, we were at a council meeting, and Pastor Jeff had asked everybody, every member of the council, to bring a Bible verse. Bring a Bible verse with you as to what you see or what you want Grace Church to be down the road. Like, what do you want to accomplish as part of being on council? And I brought Hebrews 11:7. It had been a couple weeks after my grandfather's funeral, and I thought, well, this is the verse that's working on my life and in my heart right now, so I brought that, and I said, this is it. This is my verse. Well, why is that your verse? What does that have to do with Grace Church? Grace, we're living and defining our legacy right now. You realize that those young kids that ran out the door, when you're gone, that's your legacy. What you leave for them is your legacy. That's all you can give them. Hopefully, when I go, hopefully my kids or my grandkids want my Bible. And hopefully within my Bible, they have a grasp of who I was. And they have an understanding of, this is what I wanted my legacy to be. Are we a church that's founded on, you know, biblical truth, and we stand firm on biblical truth, and that's the legacy of Grace Church? Or are we a church that just gets blown around with whichever way the wind's going that day, and nobody really ever knows what grace is defined as? We have to stand firm on our faith. We have to understand our faith. We have to know what it is that we believe. If you look at Hebrews 11, look at verses 1 and 2. Actually, 1, 2, and 3, I guess it is. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, some of you were here when we did the Wednesday night creation study a few months ago, and we looked through the whole book of Genesis and went through the whole creation. We got pretty deep. We got into some pretty heavy stuff. You can't explain your faith to somebody if you don't understand your faith. You can't tell somebody what it is that you believe if you don't know what it is that you believe. So if you look at verse number 3, and it says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's saying that this book, If you're in your Bible and you're studying, it's going to tell you everything you need to know about history. It's going to tell you everything there is to know about science. It's going to tell you math. It's going to tell you astronomy, astrology. Everything that you have questions about is found in this book. Everything and anything that you need is right here. But look at verse number 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Do we diligently seek him? Do we understand what our faith is? Or are we just relying on Sunday morning to give us everything that we need to know? Because there's a lot more in this book than can be covered in 30 years worth of Sunday morning. And it ties together in ways that you would never even imagine when you start to dig into it. But are we being a diligent seeker? You know, JB had talked about losing his keys and finding them in his coat pocket. I can relate to that. I'm sure we all can relate to that. probably, I guess in like February of last year, February of this year, we moved our camper from a storage lot into our home lot, and we parked it and got out and whatever, and I couldn't find the keys for this camper. I looked, and everywhere, I thought, we had just moved in January, so I thought, probably somebody stashed them somewhere, and I'm never going to find them. And, you know, you tear the whole house apart, and you show up, you end up with nothing. Well, last month we were going to one of our youngest son had a flag football game, and it was raining. And so I went and got the coat that I have that's waterproof so that I didn't get rained on. And I'm okay, I'm making sure I got my wallet. Okay, I got the keys. Camper keys right there in the pocket. You know, and many times that's what it's like when you dig into the book, right? And you're looking for some sort of an answer. And you're seeking and you're looking and you're looking and you're looking, and then one day it's just right there. It's just right there, and it just pops out off the page. And you're like, man, I wish I would have found that months ago. I wish I would have found those camper keys months ago. It would have saved me a lot of worry and a lot of strife. All right? But, you know, God has his timing, and he puts these things here, but you have to seek them. You have to seek them out. And then when you find them, you have to be like Noah. You have to stand on them. Noah was told to build an ark, and he was told that this is what was going to happen. And he stood firm on that. And I'm sure as he was building the ark, people were walking by laughing and making fun of him. And you've seen probably the movie Evan Almighty where the guy, it's sort of like a funny comedy about that. And people were just laughing and like, oh yeah, okay, it's gonna flood in the middle of Arizona or whatever they were, you know. Like, that's probably what Noah was going through. But Noah stood firm on what God had told him. He stood firm in his faith, in the face of ridicule, in the face of, you know, anything that they could throw at him. And I'm sure that part of that was like, oh, you're going to build an ark, and then you're going to take animals on it, and yeah, okay, all right, Noah, you know, sounds good. But he stood firm. And the other thing that standing in our faith does is it gives us strength. It gives us strength. And because I didn't make notes, now I got to search while I try to talk and make it look like I know what I'm doing. Verse number 11. Hebrews 11:11. It gives us strength. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Anybody here think they could build an ark? If I gave you four sons, could you build an ark if I gave you four sons? No? You don't think Noah needed some strength from God to build an ark with four sons? Back in the days, before, you know, obviously no power tools and no modern equipment. Like, you're out there just sawing with whatever you got. I think God had to give Noah some strength, just like he gave Sarah strength at 100 years old to conceive a baby. And so the challenge is simple. The challenge in the whole thing is simple. Is what kind of a legacy are we going to leave for our kids and for their kids and so on down the road? It's very simple. If we're not studying the Word of God, if we're not standing on the Word of God, then we have no legacy to leave. We've got nothing that we can give them if we don't leave them with the truth. And leave them with the understanding of what it means to stand in that truth. And so that's the challenge I have, is when your kids and grandkids look back and they're looking through your Bible, are they going to see your legacy of faith? Are they going to talk about you as a person that trusted God? Are they going to talk about us, Grace Church, as a church that trusts God and follows God and His Word? Or are they going to look at Grace Church and are they going to just see us again as somebody that just floats with the wind and goes on whatever path the world tells us to? Because that's all it is. I'm sure the world had tried to convince Noah that he didn't have to build an ark, that it wasn't going to rain. They were probably pretty sure that Noah was crazy and probably had a little dementia or something going on there, that he was building this big old boat and he wasn't going to use it to go fishing. And so I'm sure they tried to discourage him and they tried to push him away and say, why don't you just stop building that ark, man? Just come over here and let's go hang out, or let's do something else. Anything else, Noah, besides building that stinking ark that we're never, it's never going to be used. And for us, that's the same thing. The world's pushing at us and pulling at us and saying, just get away from the Bible, man. Just get away from church for a minute. Just come over here and let's hang out. Just give a little bit on your belief on this subject or your belief on that subject. Just give a little bit. But when you give a little bit, then you give a little bit more, and you give a little bit more, and more and more. And next thing you know, you're so far away from the truth that you don't know what it is. You don't know how to get back to it. So our challenge is to just be a church that's grounded in God's Word, that's settled in God's Word, and that follows what His calling is. And so I thank, each one that's here for, this morning, just following the call that God has put in their life to get to church. Because I've seen in my life how impactful that one decision can be. And as God continues to work and continues to work in your lives and in Grace Church, it's my hope and my prayer that we just continue to grow and to build that legacy so that when my kids are my age, they have something that we've passed down to them, that they have a foundation to stand on in their faith. So as the worship team can come up and prepare for the last song, maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, yeah, okay, Noah, that's a great story, and that's awesome, and it's a fun thing to think about, like, oh, we built this ark and saved from the floodwaters and everything. But the key that everybody here this morning needs to understand is that Noah was saved by his faith. Noah was saved because of his faith. And so the question for you this morning is, are you saved by faith through grace? Or are you here this morning not having ever been saved, not having ever found salvation and answered that calling that God has for your life? Are you here this morning because somebody drug you here and maybe you don't feel like being here right now, but you're here and you're just hoping I shut up so you can go home? Or are you here because God called you to be here and He wants to reach out and He wants to save you from whatever you're going through in your life? You can't get there without faith. You can't get there without God. And without trusting and believing that Jesus Christ came down to this earth and He gave Himself to die on a cross so that each one of us could have salvation and find that faith and that hope that He wants us to have. So if you're here this morning and not, as we pray and we sing, I pray that you would just come forward and let us show you how you can know that you're going to be in heaven one day. Let's bow our head and close our eyes, and we'll end with a word of prayer and a song. Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for the word that you've given me. I thank you for hopefully making it understandable for the congregation. Lord, I just pray that you would use it to work in the lives of those that are here. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's not saved, I pray that you would continue to stir in them and work in them and just help them to have the strength to step out and to come forward, Lord, so we can tell them how they can know for sure that they're going to be in heaven, that they have eternal life and salvation. And Lord, for those that are here that are saved and are part of Grace Church, Lord, I just pray that we would focus on what our legacy is going to be as a church. What we're going to leave for those that come behind, Lord. And through that, we know that the legacy of each individual here will be cemented to their children and to their grandchildren and so on, Lord. But I just pray that you would work in us and keep us focused on what it is that you've called us to do. Lord, as we go home, I pray that you would keep us safe, you keep us warm. Lord, I pray that you would get each and every one of us home safely and bring us back again to worship and serve you next week. Lord, I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.